Welcome to Midwest Living and Southern Living on Voice Corps. I'm your volunteer reader, Cheryl Harden. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from both Midwest Living and Southern Living. This first article is from Midwest Living. Can't make it to the World Cup? Here are 14 great places to watch soccer in the Midwest. Is the 2026 World Cup giving you a case of football fever? Here's where to get your fill of the action both during and after the tournament. Interest in soccer has been growing in the United States for years now, and with the country co-hosting this summer's FIFA World Cup alongside Canada and Mexico, that trend is only going to continue. If you're among the folks who've contracted a bad case of football fever, scheduling your day around match times, secretly checking ticket prices at work, the Midwest has the medicine for what ails you. The region has long been at the heart of the country's soccer culture, home to some of its oldest organizations, winningest teams, and most dazzling stadiums. While Kansas City may be the only Midwestern city hosting World Cup matches, there are plenty of places to catch the games and feed your football fix once the tournament is over, whether in a bar watching European clubs on TV or at a stadium taking in the top-tier MLS, Major League Soccer, and National Women's Soccer League, NWSL, the United Soccer League's USL, lower tiers, or collegiate games. Here are 14 of the best across the region. Illinois, Soccer House, Chicago. Soccer House is home for football maximalists. Screens are splayed across the bar's three viewing areas, each with independent audio to prevent commentary overlap, and the rooftop beer garden boasts a 135-inch square for marquee matches. The venue's hours revolve around game time, so on Saturdays, fans can show up for European kickoffs at 6 a.m. and stay through West Coast MLS games until midnight. During the World Cup, they can also reserve lounge tables for specific games. The bar and rooftop will be first come, first serve. The menu features global stadium fare like German pretzels with mustard and Argentinian sandwiches. On off days, expect events like live football podcasts and player Q&As. Indiana, Bill Armstrong Stadium, Bloomington. Some of the country's best college soccer is played at this stadium on the campus of Indiana University. The Hoosier men's team is among the most successful in NCAA history, something pitchside boards announce in big crimson letters. 35 Big Ten titles, 22 Division I tournament appearances, 8 national championships. Zero surprise, then, that games draw some of the country's biggest crowds. Indiana had the third highest attendance across the NCAA last year. The IU Crab Band, part of the IU Marching 100, gives games a classic collegiate vibe. Chatham Tap, Indianapolis. If you've ever watched Ted Lasso and felt a twinge of envy at the sight of AFC Richmond supporters gathered at the Crown and Anchor, you'd do well to pull up a stool at this indie soccer bar, recently named one of the 10 best sports bars in the country. Opened in 2007 and modeled on English locals, Chatham's original Mass Avenue location is festooned with club scarves, pours British pints, and serves UK classics like fish and chips. The pub screens European competitions, including the English Premier League and Champions League, and opens early for weekend matches, meaning there's always a crowd to share the joy of victory or the agony of defeat. During the World Cup, the bar will be showing every match, all 104 of them, and serving specially tournament-themed drinks. Iowa, Mediacom Stadium in Des Moines. Don't let the Des Moines Menace's amateur status or Mediacom America's football field fool you. This is one of the country's most storied teams, older than all but a few MLS sides, and a two-time champion at the pre-professional level. It's also owned by the same group that owns Parma Calcio 1913, one of Italy's most famous clubs. The Menace carries enough clout that it even managed to lure a few ex-national players out of retirement for matches in recent seasons. You don't need to be a diehard to enjoy Menace games, though. With pre-match carnival games and face painting and tickets for as little as $9, they make for great family outings. Kentucky, Lynn Family Stadium, Louisville. Lynn Family Stadium is home to Racing Louisville FC, one of the newest members of the NWSL, and Louisville City FC, the USL Championships all-time winningest team. The latter was also named the league's best club to visit in a 2024 fan poll, and the many reasons apply equally to its sister club, a location near the city's hip East Market District. Tailgating that starts at 10 a.m., a fan zone with food trucks and lawn games, $3 beers during pre-match happy hours, and stadium bars pouring bourbon from local craft distilleries like Rabbit Hole. If that wasn't enough, the clubs also provide free tickets to fans attending their first match. Michigan, Keyworth Stadium in Hamtramck. Few places have a city club bond as organic as the one between Detroit and Detroit City FC, which was born out of a local co-ed rec league. That bond has produced one of the country's best matchday atmospheres. It begins an hour before kickoff when hundreds of fans march down Goodson Street to this Detroit Enclave Stadium, singing and chanting as they go. The march is led by the Northern Guard supporters, a group infamous for its in-game deployment of smoke bombs, TIFOs, giant banners, and expletive-laced chants. Look past the rough exterior, though, and you'll find hooligans with hearts of gold. The group takes pride in its inclusivity, supports LGBTQ plus groups, and distributes free tickets to disadvantaged youth. Minnesota, the Black Heart of St. Paul in St. Paul. The Black Heart is a queer bar. It's a soccer bar. It's a queer soccer bar. And there's no place in the country quite like it. Just a few hundred yards from Minnesota United FC's Alliance Field, the venue is a gathering space for the club's supporters and for fans who come to watch MLS, NWSL, European, and Liga MX matches, the biggest of which are screened on the huge patio. During the World Cup, guests who buy a passport can collect stamps for every game they attend, which will enter them into drawings to win prizes like free beer and MUFC tickets. A portion of the proceeds will then go to the Minnesota Immigrant Rights Action Committee. After MUFC matches and on nights when games aren't on, the Black Heart hosts drag shows, burlesque, and karaoke. There's also bocce, bingo, and something called Nerd Night when folks give presentations on geeky topics from chemistry to Star Trek. Missouri, CPKC Stadium in Kansas City. Kansas City calls itself America's soccer capital, and this stadium on the banks of the Missouri River is a shining example of why. Home to the NWSL's Kansas City Current, it was the world's first stadium built exclusively for a women's pro team, not just in soccer, but in any sport. In 2024, the year CPKC opened, the Current became the league's first team to sell out every match. That streak remains intact, but if you can snag one of the 11,500 seats, you won't be more than 100 feet from the pitch, can nosh on Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, and will be treated to one of the best atmospheres in women's sports. About 10 miles away, Kansas City will host 6 World Cup matches at Jiha Field at Arrowhead Stadium, called Kansas City Stadium by FIFA. Energizer Park, St. Louis. What do Energizer Park, Angkor Wat, and the Great Pyramid of Giza have in common? They've all been recognized by UNESCO, with the first one winning the organization's 2024 Prix Versailles for the world's most beautiful new sports venue. Anchoring downtown's West End, St. Louis City's SC's home ground is seamlessly integrated with its surroundings. From outside the stadium, you can see in, and from inside, you can see the surrounding buildings, says Matt Sebeck, the club's chief experience officer. Once inside, fans can indulge in a local program, in a food program overseen by James Beard winner Gerard Kraft that spans some 25 local restaurants, including Beard finalist Balkan Treat Box. Nebraska, Morrison Stadium, Omaha. This downtown stadium is home to the Creighton University men's and women's soccer teams, both of which ranked in the top 10 for average attendance among NCAA Division I schools last year. It's one of the best college venues in the country, with covered seating and a general admission grass berm that's perfect for picnics. For now, Morrison also hosts Union Omaha, the most successful team in the third tier USL League's One's short history with three regular season and two playoff championships. Union Omaha is building its own stadium set to open in 2028. After matches, the bars and restaurants of the city's lively Old Market District are just a mile away. Ohio, the pitch, Cincinnati. Can't decide if you want to play, catch a game live, or binge watch simultaneous matches on TV? This Cincy soccer bar ticks all those boxes. Across the street from FC Cincinnati's stunning TQL Stadium, it's ideal for a pre- or post-match pour from local breweries like Rheingeist and Urban Artifact. 50 TVs showing MLS, European, and U.S. national team matches are spread across three different viewing areas. Among them, a covered outdoor patio and a rooftop with stadium views. The latter also overlooks the bar's mini pitch, which hosts 3v3 leagues, including one for LGBTQ plus players, and can be rented when league games aren't taking place. It'll make a good place to stretch your legs between the bar's World Cup watch parties, which will feature themed food and live DJs for select matchups. Scott's Miracle-Gro Field, Columbus. A trip to watch the Columbus Crew is one for the history buffs. Founded in 1994, the Crew was the first MLS franchise, made the first pick in the league's inaugural draft, and played in the country's first pro soccer-specific stadium. The team's sleek new home in downtown's Arena District debuted in 2021. Every Crew game is a spectacle, but if you can, try to catch the Hell is Real Derby, the rivalry match with FC Cincinnati that's named for a prominent religious billboard between the two cities along I-71. Columbus's soccer culture makes Scott's Miracle-Gro Field a popular venue for other competitions, too. It has hosted national team matches, international friendlies, and in 2028 will host Summer Olympic and Paralympic soccer. Wisconsin, Breeze Stevens Field, Madison. Forward Madison FC knows that when you get down to it, soccer is really just about having fun. Its crest features a plastic lawn flamingo, the official city bird. A team cow attends games. The squad has worn reversible 3D kits. Theme nights have involved Baja hoodie giveaways for Earth Day and a meet and greet with Leslie David Baker, who played Stanley on The Office. Win or lose, you're going to have a good time. This year, there's even more fun to be had as National Register of Historic Places listed Breeze Stevens Field celebrates its 100th anniversary and pre-professional women's side Rally Madison FC kicks off its inaugural season. UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena, Milwaukee. If you're not the sort who sees the beauty in a scrappy 0-0 draw or the timeless Italian art of Catenaccio, door bolt, defending, indoor soccer might be more your thing. Matches are played 6-on-6 in what's basically a turfed hockey rink with balls bouncing off the boards and the action zipping from end to end. Double-digit scores aren't uncommon. Founded in 1984, the Milwaukee Wave is the longest-running soccer franchise in the country. Its major arena soccer league games, played at this downtown arena, are high-energy affairs with the sound system, blaring music throughout matches, and players kicking signed balls into the crowd after goals. You're listening to Midwest Living and Southern Living on VoiceCorps. This next article from Midwest Living is 9 Best Midwest Rivers for Paddling and Float Trips. Take in nature's tranquility and soak up the vibes of the great outdoors as you float along these great Midwest paddling rivers. When it comes to soaking up the dog days of summer, a leisurely float trip is one of the best ways to experience the Midwest's abundant waterways. We've rounded up 9 of the region's best locations to float and paddle with your crew. No gear, no problem. Local outfitters can provide the essentials. Just pack your sunscreen and a cooler full of your favorite refreshments before heading off to one of these popular destinations. Niobrara River. That's Niobrara. That's in Valentine, Nebraska. If Nebraska doesn't conjure up images of serpentine Midwestern waterways, visit the Niobrara River midsummer and get back to us. A designated quiet trail that's situated in the beautiful sand hills of north central Nebraska, this river has earned a national reputation for its peaceful setting. Its leisurely pace means you won't miss glimpsing 200-plus waterfalls along the way. The most common route is from the Fort Niobrara National Wildlife Refuge's launch site to Brewer Bridge. Both are public access landings. Little Outlaw and Brewer's Canoers are two of the many outfitters located in Valentine, renting canoes, kayaks, tubes, and stock tanks, a Nebraska tradition. Root River in Preston, Minnesota. Minnesota may be called the land of 10,000 lakes, but the state's rivers have much to offer too. Though there are plenty to choose from, a float trip down the Root River rewards with charming towns and bluff views along the way. The water propels floaters at a leisurely to moderate pace, and they can wave to anglers casting their lines for the river's bounty. Plan a day trip floating along the river or utilize the many campsites for a multi-day journey. Check out Root River Outfitters in Lanesboro for kayaks, tubes, canoes, and nearby river access. Prefer to cycle? The Root River Trail is a fantastic and popular scenic bike route. Merrimack River in Steelville, Missouri. Stretching more than 200 miles through the Ozarks, the Merrimack River is one of the longest free-flowing rivers in Missouri. Its most popular sections for float trips are between Merrimack Spring and Merrimack State Park. While the river's headwaters are near Salem, most of the outfitters are located in Steelville. Rent a raft, canoe, kayak, or tube from local businesses like Lucky Clover or Merrimack River Resort. While floating, cliffs, caves, and soothing springs usher you through one of the most beautiful sections of the Show Me State. Along the way, tie up your vessel and make a pit stop at Merrimack Caverns for a tour of a natural Midwest wonder. Upper Iowa River in Winnesheek County, Iowa. Of all the places to drift in the Midwest, the driftless area of Northeast Iowa may be the coolest. This remarkable region is a veritable oasis left untouched when glaciers flattened much of the area about 12,000 years ago. It was one of the first rivers in the nation to be nominated as a National Wild and Scenic River in the 1960s. Rent gear from an outfitter like Upper Iowa Resort in Dorchester or Harvest Farm Campground in Cresco, and join the Upper Iowa River as it meanders past towering limestone bluffs, surprising waterfalls, secluded hardwood forests, and historic bridges. The 156-mile river originates near Leroy, Minnesota, and flows into the Mississippi River near New Albany, Iowa. Apple River in Somerset, Wisconsin. This 77-mile-long tributary of the St. Croix River offers the best of both worlds. The journey kicks off with a gentle current before transitioning to livelier rapids to thrill more adventurous types. In the middle, a substantial sandbar always seems to host a spirited beach volleyball match and picnickers. Check out outfitters in and around Somerset, like River's Edge Apple River Tubing and Camping, for rentals. Looking for a more unique experience? Try tanking, the tubing alternative in which you float down the river in a 500-gallon stock tank. Tippecanoe River in Winnemac, Indiana. Affectionately called Tippy by locals, the Tippecanoe River in northern Indiana derives its name from the Miami Indian word for buffalo fish. Cruise its glassy waters and admire historic structures as well as an amazing spectrum of biodiversity, including bluebreast, gilt, and spotted and Tippecanoe darters. This 182-mile river starts just east of Kosciuszko County and joins the Wabash River near Lafayette. Many of the river's outfitters, like Riverside Rentals, are located less than 5 miles south of Tippecanoe River State Park in Winnemac. Chippewa River in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Gentle currents and scenic views abide along the Chippewa River, easily accessible via the aptly named town of Mount Pleasant in central Michigan. The 4-mile-per-hour current is the perfect pace, and the cool, clear water provides a pleasant relief from Midwest heat. The river passes through the region's natural woodlands, but also through Mount Pleasant's residential neighborhoods and urban parks. Just outside of town, both Buckley's Mountainside Canoes and Chippewa River Outfitters rent gear for a fun day on the river. Fox River, Aurora, Illinois. For a Midwest waterway that flows through many cities, try the Fox River in Illinois. This 200-plus stream starts in southeastern Wisconsin and runs through Illinois communities like Elgin, St. Charles, Aurora, Oswego, and Yorkville. For a paddle sport adventure beginning in North Aurora, try Howling Wolf Canoe and Kayak. If wheels are more your speed, ride the 40-mile Fox River bike trail starting in Algonquin. The trail runs adjacent to the river and crosses 6 bridges and passes through a multitude of nature preserves. Cuyahoga River, Akron, Ohio. Not many Midwest rivers run through 2 major cities and 25 miles of national park, but the Cuyahoga River has it all. This 100-mile waterway starts near Hamden and runs south to Akron, then back north toward Cleveland, feeding into Lake Erie. Along the way, travelers will pass the rolling hills, vast forests, and lush farmland of Cuyahoga Valley National Park. Start your paddling journey at Cuyahoga Valley Adventures in Akron or explore the end of the river in Cleveland with Great Lakes water sports. Switching to Southern Living Magazine, their summer edition, I'm going to read an article called Hot Dog City USA. The story behind Birmingham's most iconic food and the locals carrying on the legacy. You'll be forgiven if you don't know the Birmingham hot dog, or that it is even a thing. It's not as gaudy as the Chicago one, not as ubiquitous as its Coney Island cousin. Just a savory secret sauce, an unremarkable wiener, and all the history of its hometown slathered atop a bun. Birmingham was born at about the same time as the American hot dog. The city was founded in 1871 when people flooded in to work new quarries, mines, and forges. That same year, in New York City, a German immigrant named Charles Feltman opened a stand selling wieners on soft rolls at Coney Island. He may not have invented the hot dog, but he did inspire a nationwide culinary epiphany. Laborers, hungry for work and affordable food, poured into Birmingham in the years that followed. Immigrants, many of them Greeks, sold fruit and other wares to foundry workers and miners from stands and carts. When the hot dog landed, it took on a life of its own. Soon, Birmingham's new version was born, with Coney Island ancestry and a Southern Greek twist. In 1919, Tom Candelay opened Tom's Coney's, probably the first brick-and-mortar location, in an 8-by-15-foot sliver of space downtown. Later, Pete's Famous Hot Dogs welcomed customers just a block away in a 7-by-20-foot cigarette box. These places required little room or capital, and soon the city was full of them. Back in the day, there was one on almost every block of downtown, sometimes 3, explains Andrew Collins, who spent 4 decades slinging weenies at Lyric Hot Dogs, before taking on a second career as the owner of the trendy Collins Bar and K.O. Coco Rum Bar and Restaurant. The Birmingham Post examined the Greek influence in 1926, finding too many Georges and Johns and Nicks, all Greek immigrants, to keep straight. It listed Georges as George's Place, George's Lunchroom, and George's Seafood Cafe, plus John's Barbecue, John's Joint, and Johnny's Barbecue. There were 2 Nick's places, a Nick's Barbecue and a Nick's Cafe. Of course, there are other restaurants which Greeks do not own or operate, but they are few and far between, the Birmingham Post wrote. Practically all of the hot dog places scattered over the city are owned by Greeks. The term hot dog was put in quotes back then, ostensibly to avoid confusion. Most of the old joints are gone now, replaced by parking lots, changes in appetites, and progress, in quotes, or because those who toiled behind the counters found the success they sought and sent their children to college and other career pursuits. Pete's Famous closed in 2011 after owner Gus Kortolakis died, but Gus's, a longtime Pete's competitor, still carries the torch downtown. Lee Panadas bought Gus's in 2017 to keep the tradition alive, but most of the customers know that Carl Lee L.A. Alexander runs it day-to-day the way he learned from the original Greek owners. Collins, the son of a Greek immigrant, still sells the Birmingham dog at the Collins Bar after 6 p.m. But what is a Birmingham dog, really? To me, it's just a regular weenie with mustard, onions, sauerkraut, and our special sauce, says Collins. But that makes it seem like just a hot dog. What defines the Birmingham version, called a special dog on most menus, is that secret meat sauce topped with yet another super secret red sauce, guarded like the treasure it is. George Saris, the Greek immigrant owner of the Fish Market restaurant, who got his start with the hot dog joint, talks colorfully of the sauce, but pretends to forget his English when asked about the recipe. Collins won't spill, neither will Pantas's. It's a sacred trust handed down as if by silent order of monks, Pantas's says. But make no mistake, the Birmingham dog is more than its biggest secret. It's not about the hot dog, he says, of maintaining the legacy. It's an old truck you should have sold years ago, but keep putting money and effort into it because you rode it with your dad and you rode it with your grandpa. That's the magic of the Birmingham dog, and maybe the real recipe. Simplicity. Respect for those who came before, who worked hard to make a better life for their families, and in the process made their town a more flavorful place to live. The couple of pictures that go with this article show Gus's special dog, which definitely has a bunch of red-sauced meat on it with a Grapico beverage in the back. And then they have a picture of Lee Pantas's and Carl Lee L.A. Alexander. The other picture has a trio of hot dogs from the Collins Bar. The special dog has mustard, onions, hot beef, and Lyric sauce. The Lyric hot dog, one of them has mustard, onions, kraut, and Lyric sauces. Actually, that's both of them. That's it for this month of Midwest Living and Southern Living. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more programming on VoiceCorps, your audio access to the world.